to see you. Holy, 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 we cry, holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, 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 holy. You are holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Bye.
Good morning, you guys watching. Good morning, you guys here in person. I wanted, before we get going here on part number two, I want to give a shout out to someone named Blue. You said some words on YouTube, and they were a blessing, and I tried to respond back to you, and I was blocked. You know, they are running their interference. I just want to remind you guys, they did this a lot with me and Miss Linda Kirby. When I would try to respond to her for a while, nothing would go through. So I just want y'all to know, don't think I'm ignoring you, okay, because I'm not. There are certain ones that I just can't respond to, and I don't know why that is. But today, we're on the message, Nephilim Are Here. This is part two, and this part two is about hybrids. We're going to focus on hybrids today, and they're here too, just so you know. I want to let you guys know, though, these messages, this series is probably going to be the biggest series that I've done, okay? I'm working with so much of this still, trying to break it down. And I want to tell you that what we're speaking about intertwines. It intersects. It's like I'm trying to focus on hybrids today, but I want you to know all of this came from that second group of fallen angels, and that this stuff, when you talk about it, you can't just block it off and section it out. It's going to intersect. You're going to have fallen angels coming in these messages. You're going to have the Nephilim in these messages. You're going to have the evil spirits, the hybrids. It's all like in one big mixing pot, and you can't separate it from each other because that's where it all came from. So, okay? And I want to give a shout out. This message was brought to me, this part of it, was inspired by a YouTuber that pointed this out to me. He was telling me, you know, hybrids are in the Bible. Did you know that? And he gave me a teaching. This teaching was by Dante Fortson. So I want to give a shout out and tell you thank you for your research, because I'm going to be speaking on a lot of it today. And this very first picture, let's just dive right into this. And, you know, like Kennedy thought that was a mermaid. That ain't no mermaid. Okay, look at her. A mermaid, remember, has the one single tail. This thing has two tails, okay? It's trying to be mermaid-ish, I'll say that. And while we're on the subject of mermaids, what is a mermaid? Just like Kennedy, I asked her, she's learning in school, you know, reptiles, amphibians, mammals. She's learning her categories, right? So I said, how would you classify that? And she just looked at me, because what is it? Is it amphibian? Does it go, you know, in the fish category? Or is it human? Which way is it? You see what happens when you start messing with what God created? Then you get this stuff, you're like, I don't know what category, I don't know what to do with that thing, right? Now, I want us to have a little tiny education on what this thing is, because this is a hybrid, okay? See, it's part human. She's female up at the top. But then we got this fish thing happening at the bottom with tails and scales, right? So this is a hybrid. This was a perfect little mascot picture for this message today. So I just looked on. This is probably Wikipedia, because I want you guys to know what this thing is that we're looking at. It's called a siren. Okay, coming from Greek mythology. Sirens were dangerous, yet beautiful creatures, who lured nearby sailors with their enchanting music and voices to shipwreck on the rocky coast of their island. Now, that's about as far as I'm going to read. You can research into that further if you want to. I want you to get a grip on what this thing is. It's not something holy. It's not something great. It's not something sweet. It was trying to get sailors to shipwreck.
Right.
And using its beauty and enchantments and whatever. Enchantments, by the way, when you're doing, that's kind of sorcery. That's like witchcraft. That's like spells. That's like divination, isn't it? And is God about those things? No, he is not. I've been pounding that in our heads for a while, right? Now look at this next picture. I really don't think I have to go into too much there, guys. Not here in America, I don't. I'm pretty sure we're all familiar with what that is and where that came from, because I just talked about it. Okay, they tried to clean it up some. They tried to put her hair, they've changed their little logo over the years. She used to be bare-breasted, more out in front with them. And then they decided, let's cover up the situation with the hair and be a little more politically correct. And then they've got it to where, a lot of people, like, I didn't even pay attention to this thing. I never even really looked at the logo. But when you really study it out, it's like, oh, well, that's two tails that she's holding up. And you're like, what is, you know what I mean? Got a crown on there. There's no mistaking about what that crown. This thing right here is representing Isis, Ishtar, Asherah, Ashtart. All of that's the same thing, okay? That's Nimrod's, wife and sister and mother and grandma. And I mean, my goodness. Okay, so there you go. We beat that up good enough. Now we're going to go into finding hybrids in the Bible. And we're going to bring this out because we got to understand this. We got to get a grip on this. First, I'm going to start with a book that's outside the Bible, okay? It's the book of Jasher. And the book of Jasher is referenced in the Bible. In the book of Joshua is one place, chapter 10, verse 13. So in case you think I'm taking y'all on some crazy trails outside of the Bible, no, there's a reason why God had these books referenced in the Bible, and then he tells you to study to show yourself approved. And remember, last week we talked about how when you look at history, you look at archaeology, you look at artifacts, those things prove the Bible when the scientists are allowed to tell the truth. Because remember, we have a big disinformation campaign where if you're a scientist who found something that's going to prove the Bible, we got to shut you down. We got to ruin your career. You're fixing to go out of business. No, you ain't going to get that published. No, you're not going to speak out about that. We're taking you down. Don't think that's not going on in a big way. I just listened to a lady testify about that last night. Okay, so the book of Jasher, this is what I want us to get a hold of. I'm going to chapter 4, verse 18. These books outside the Bible point back to the Bible, and they give us teaching, and they help explain some of the things that are in the Bible. They help to bring some clarity to it, okay? It says, and their judges and rulers went to the daughters of men. Now, this is just talking about men, men's judges and men's rulers, okay? Went to the daughters of men and took their wives by force and their husbands according to their choice. And the sons of men in those days, that's us, okay, people, human, took from the cattle of the earth, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the air, and taught the mixture of animals of one species with the other. In order therewith to provoke the Lord. Do you see that? Do you think he stands in approval of that? No. Provoke somebody. You know, today it would be like getting in somebody's face and saying some stuff, and you're provoking them. You're provoking them, try to hit you or do, you know what I mean? That's what provoking means. And God saw the whole earth, and it was corrupt. This is right in the time where he's getting ready to bring the flood to Noah, okay? He saw the whole earth, that it was corrupt for all flesh. Now, in case we're thinking all flesh, doesn't, you know, animals, don't they have flesh? Don't fish have flesh? Don't, you know what I'm saying? So all flesh had corrupted its way upon earth, all men and all animals. Now, I just want to make a little point here. This was just before the flood, and the Lord was not happy with the corruption on the earth and the point that it had reached, the sin and everything else. And remember, the fallen angels had been here teaching man all their little mysteries that they came down from heaven with, but in a corrupt way. They weren't using it for God's glory. They weren't using it for the good, so they were teaching all their evil stuff. So when I think about this men over here doing all this, where'd they learn that from? Where'd that spin out from, okay? Remember, it ties back into the book of Enoch. And all of this ties into when those fallen angels came down here and mated with the women, okay? That's what we're sitting on in this series, because that's where all this stuff that we're talking about spun out of. Okay, so what we have to get out of this passage is they were mixing different animals together, mating them. Different plants together. We know that, GMOs. I mean, come on, that's happening now. Okay, so they were doing these things. And we're going to go to Leviticus 17:7. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. Now, remember, whenever it's talking about whoring, and this is talking from the Lord, he's talking about his creation, his people, that's even us today, who were created to praise and worship him for his glory, and we said, no thanks, I'm going to go over here and serve this demon. I'm going to go over here with this idol. I'd rather be in the occult. I want Satan over you, okay? That's called whoring on God, because he's the one who created you. You're over here now prostituting yourself out for this devil, for this Satan, for this demon, for whatever you can get from him. Remember, he promised Jesus the world, which to me was just stupid, because Jesus already had the world anyway. He was just coming here to do what he had to do for us. Yes. You know, and how stupid was the devil going, I'll give you all these kingdoms, and if I was Jesus, and he probably was thinking this anyway, I'd have been like, they're already mine, stoop. Yeah. I mean, he is not the brightest thing, I'm telling you. So, okay, listen to this. When I would read this passage, and even until the, you know, the person on YouTube pointed this out about this teaching, because of our translations, and not that they did such a poor translation, but when I read that, okay, devil, since it has an S on the end, and in my mind there's one Satan and one devil, then there's demons and all his other little junk. Okay, so when I see devils, I'm like, okay, demons, and you just keep on going. Well, guess what? When you look into that word right there in your Strong's Concordance, you come up with the word, and I don't know if I'm saying it right, but this is how Pastor Sherry's going to say it, Satyr, S-A-T-Y-R, right there on that word. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that. Because if you guys go back to the Valentine message, remember Pan, I forget if that was in the Greek or the Roman. Remember that little goat man? That's who we're talking about. Okay? And he had a couple of different names in that message. But that all ties in, and I'm like, okay. So here they were offering their sacrifices to this thing, a satyr. Now, let's go over here to Isaiah 13:21. And just so you know, when you study into this, this is future. This still hasn't happened in our day yet. Okay? So here we go. This is about on the destruction of Babylon, which is still future. It says, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. Yeah. Okay? What is a satyr? Let's look at it. Look at this thing. Okay? For you guys out there who are familiar with Baphomet, and I talk about him quite a bit, that's like Satan in his goat form. Okay? And when you see him, remember, he has the horns and he's got boobs. Remember, because he's male and female. He's so messed up. And it's always the goat, the bottom half of him is the goat and all of this. And look, there he is. He's playing his little harp thing. Well, I think about Satan when I see that, because remember, he was supposed to be the anointed cherub that covered, but he also, those pipes were created in him. And when I think about that, you know, you hear somebody say, man, that person can blow, that person's got pipes. And we're talking about their vocal cords. We're talking about those pipes, okay? But you see this little thing, and to me, he is totally, you know, what I think of when I'm thinking about Satan in his little Baphomet state. Look at this. In the Greek, he was part man, part horse. But in Roman mythology, he was part man, part goat. So guess what? When I used to read that about them sacrificing to devils, and I just thought demons and went on about my way, This little ugly thing right here that we see was there in person, strolling around doing what he does among them. And they worshiped these things. And they offered to these things. This is the part for me that I was missing, some of it. Okay, because I always just thought, and you do read different parts of the Bible where God is cracking down on their idols, where they made all their totem poles, and all, well, I call them totem poles. They made all their idols, and they had silver and bronze and gold and whatever stuck on there, and God would say, can the thing walk? Can it talk? Can it do anything? No. Okay, and I knew that, and I would be like, but they were praying to these things because demons and Satan was answering their prayers. Even though the thing don't walk, talk, move, and do anything, Satan would see you bowing down to that thing and go, hey, boys, get over there and answer that prayer so we can keep that one on the line. Okay? These things were physically there. You could physically see them, touch them. They were there. Okay? 2 Samuel 23:20. We're going to talk about another. And that's a hybrid, by the way. Remember, a hybrid is a mixture. It's a cross. Look at it. This thing has part human and part animal. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about hybrid, okay? Some people are saying they're using the word or the term transhumanism. Transhumanism means it's not fully human, okay? This fits that category too. This thing's not fully human. God didn't create us to be like that, okay? Transhumanism also is the mechanics. When you see technology, when you see chip implantation, when you see taking away organs and putting fake organs in and with, you know, like steel and rod and, you know, when it's kind of like starting to be more computer driven than it is human, that's also transhumanism. So you got transhumanism working in two ways, okay? Now let's go look at another hybrid in the Bible. 2 Samuel 23:20, and the thing that I'm bringing out is these things were real. These things were among them, okay? And think about this Seder before we leave this, because not only was it real and it was there among them, it's here in a future time when Babylon is destroyed, and it ain't far off, that God said these things are going to be dancing there. So I'm going to tell you something. We are living in a world where we think those things were extinct. They're no more. They're not among us. They're not whatever. You know what? Guess what? We're going to talk about how they, where they're at and what they're doing and that they're here and we haven't realized it and known it because we thought that was just some stuff back when. No, it's not. It's right now with us right here in the present tense, and they will be dancing whenever God destroys Babylon. Now, 2 Samuel 23:20. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. This is where it's a section of the Bible that's talking about David and his mighty men and all the things that they did. Okay? And he says, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. Now, when I read that, this is just giving you my perspective. When I read that, I would be like, okay, lion-like man means he was ferocious, he was strong, he was mighty, he was wild with himself, you know, crazy fighting dude, right? No. No, because if my mind would have clicked right there behind it, he says, he went down also and slew a lion. Now, let's think about this lion-like men. Look at this next picture. Okay? And to me, I pulled this just for us to get an idea. This looks like straight up a cult. Look at these people in these black robes with their hoods on, and they got their owls up there with the pine cone. If y'all ain't recognizing the occult world right now, here it is right there in our faces, okay? The pine cone with the pineal gland and the owls. Creature of the night, and then their hoods on, and anyway, but see that lion-like man standing there chained up before them? And we can also see, I mean, he knew the difference between a lion and a lion-like man. Okay? Now, something I found that was interesting that we're going to talk about here, because, I mean, it's interesting the things God pulls out when you're researching something. This next picture, talking about a lion-like man. You know, the one we just looked at, that's somebody modern drawing some stuff. But look at this thing. If you can't see that that has a face like a human on it, he's got eyebrows up there, he's got a nose, and he's got some crazy teeth situation going on. He's got some dippity-doo making his hair stick up. Okay, now, look at this. And I want to go through this because this is history. Pliny the Elder, this was in the 1st century A.D. This is in a history book, okay? He quotes Cecius as saying that the manticora, that must be this thing right here, okay, has the face and ears of a human. You see that up there? Okay, big gray eyes, a triple row of teeth that meet like the teeth of a comb. That's why he looks all toothy up there. A lion's body of blood red color and a voice like a panpipe. Remember that satyr over there with his little thing? Okay, panpipe blended with a trumpet. It stings with its tail like a scorpion. It is very fast and has a special appetite for human flesh. That's one record of this thing that we just looked at. Here's another one. Bartholomaeus Anglicus. He wrote in the 13th century A.D., And the references are there, okay? It is said that in India, remember India? That's where you have the Hindus. That's where they have, I mean, I don't remember if their gods are in the millions or what. It's off the charts. Okay, now in India is a beast wonderfully shapen and is like to the bear in body and in hair and to a man in face and has a bright red head and full great mouth and a horrible in either jaw, three rows of teeth. See, there's all those teeth again. Distinguished atween. The outer limbs thereof be as it were the outer limbs of a lion. And his tail is like to a wild scorpion with a sting. And smites with hard bristle pricks as a wild swine. And has a horrible voice as the voice of a trumpet. And he runs full swiftly and eats men. And among all beasts of the earth is none found more cruel nor more wonderly shapen. And it gives all the references there. When I ran across this, because remember, I was just looking for my picture of my lion man, right? And I saw this thing. That's what you got to remember. Sometimes the Lord is leading you and you think it's you, your curiosity, your interest, when it's His curiosity and His interest that's leading you there. He's the one who made you have those desires and those curiosity and interest based on what it is He's called you to do, okay? Because some people don't understand how the Lord can lead you in this stuff. Well, He's leading me even with the things I click on and that I look at and listen to, and I ask Him to lead me. Yeah. I pray over these messages, and I say, Lord, give me the scripture. Give me the websites, the links, the pictures, the everything. Let it be You and not me, okay? Now, last week I just want to point out, remember how they were talking about this thing having all these rows of teeth and all this business? In the part that I shared from before his news, they said that the Nephilim were said to have three rows of teeth. Wow. Okay? And remember, they died during and after the flood, and they became evil spirits. And remember, they also started mixing all this stuff and creating, you know, having more offspring. They didn't just stop with the Nephilim. Then they created stuff. So now this is some of what we're talking about with these hybrids. Now, this really stood out to me when I noticed that this thing had a face like a man and that it had this tail that stung like a scorpion. Those two things really caught my attention. And if you know your word, you'll know why. You know where we're headed. Revelation 9:7-9. And the shapes of the locusts. This is when the bottomless pit is opened during the tribulation. And these things are going to come out. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses, prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth as the teeth of lions. Remember that one said it had outer limbs as a lion. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. I just wanted y'all to see, out of that scripture reference right there, those things that stood out to me that matched up to that little thing. I'm not saying that's what it is, but what I want to point out is it's going to be a demonic entity, demonic power, demonic force coming out of that bottomless pit. And if we think this is just all crazy talk, my point was, remember that thing we just looked at, that they wrote about, that they lived with, that they dealt with, that they fought against? This stuff is real, okay? And I just, you know, sometimes you hear people say, oh, that's a helicopter, because the people sit up there and you can see their faces in it. And okay, well, this is just me. It had, you know, the sting was in its tail, okay? They try to say that's the guns and stuff that shoot and whatever. And they're going to hurt men for 5 months. They're not allowed to kill them, but they're going to hurt them. So what? They're going to shoot some people in the kneecaps and stuff? I mean, from up in the hell, you know what I'm saying? You guys got to take the whole scripture. Don't just pick out some parts and you know what I mean? Look at the whole thing. And you explain to me how they're going to be in the helicopter hurting men for 5 months without the power to kill them. Okay. I pulled some more pictures of this lion stuff that was found, you know, archaeological, you know, artifact type stuff. Look at this picture. And you can see on the right side, now they did sometimes wear those mask like headdress type things during their ritual ceremonies, which is still happening today. But these were also worshipped as gods because they appeared in this form. Okay, you see it right there, part lion on top, part man. You see the arms and the body. And in this next picture, here's some more artifacts right here. Look at this little thing on the left. It's like a little lion man standing up. Now, he's all chipped up and battered and torn because of however old he is. And this business about when they start putting years on stuff, you got to take this stuff with a grain of salt, because these scientists are paid to fudge the years so that people don't believe the Bible, and so that we act like we don't know how old, you know, whatever, and we're you know, basing everything on them. And they come out and say the earth is this old, and then next year they're saying it's a different age, and then give it a few more years and they'll say something different. They come out and said Pluto's not a planet anymore. I mean, they come out with stuff all the time, okay? So they're just mixing it up, saying what they want to say with their disinformation. So take the age of things. Sometimes you got to take it with a grain of salt and figure out who it's coming from. On the left here, this lion-headed deity from Stadel Cave in Holstein Mountain in Germany. They said it's 32-year-old sculpture of half lion, half man, carved in mammoth ivory using a flint knife. It's the oldest known zoomorphic structure in the world, or sculpture in the world. Okay, look at the lion-headed man carved into the stone there. They say that's the god Epidemic or something like that. Epidemic. And above right, the lion-headed god Mithra of Persia. So they were making drawings and carvings and stuff of what they were seeing, and some of this was what they were walking with and living with in that day, okay? Look at this next one. We're going to bring it right on up to modern time. Remember how I keep saying that the Illuminati has been putting these things out in books, movies, cartoons, video games, you name it, okay? Look at this guy. He was from, he was supposed to be based on a cartoon comic book called Kylon or Kylun. All right, he's from the 1980s. You can see they've got him representing part man, part lion. Now we're going to move on to our times, okay? This was just put out in 2015. Look at this magazine cover, MIT Technology Review. This was dated in May, June of 2015. You see this cute little baby's face? And it says, we can now engineer the human race. Yes, I ain't even going to say Obama's slogan, but that's true. That is a fact. Okay, let's read what they had to say in this book, magazine. MIT Technology, by the way, that's Illuminati, MIT. Most of your colleges and universities are. They're owned and operated by them, okay? Funded by them and everything else. That's why you have so many atheist college professors, because you got to remember, it's the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers who own the colleges and universities and who fund them. And they tell them what's acceptable and what's not. And they decide what gets printed and published and what does not. So that's what we have to remember when we see these things. MIT Technology Review reported that the U.S. Army recently granted $1.4 million for a Chimera project. Chimera is the same thing as hybrid. It's part human, part animal. $1.4 million from the Army, okay? Project at the University of Minnesota, led by cardiologist Daniel Gary, who is trying to grow human hearts in pigs. Hiromatsu, a stem cell biologist whose work was criticized as creating a pig man in Japan, was lured to Stanford University with a $6 million grant from the state-run California Institute of Regenerative Medicine and the promise of little government interference. You see that? What somebody over here is criticizing and saying, man, that's straight up evil. We're over here in the United States going, we want you. Come on, we're going to give you big money and we'll back out. We'll let you do what you want to do. That's what we got to realize, y'all, because that's what's been going on. Okay, and these are just the things that they're putting out there for us to chew on. The stuff that they're not putting out there would scare you up out of your mind. Okay, and listen to this. He began making human sheep chimeras. You see this picture? Now, I don't know if that's one of them that he made or not. But look at this, like it's got this human head on it and this sheep-looking body. And to be honest, no, I didn't run this thing through the picture thing to find out if it was a real one or it wasn't. There are a lot of fake ones out there, y'all. There also are a lot of disturbing, if you type hybrid or chimera or whatever, and you get a whole big group of things, and come find out, they are sculptures done by an artist, and they look real. Like the one that looks like a dog human with little human dog babies, that was supposed to be a sculpture. And what I want to tell you about that is, don't you know they put their little stuff out there to test us, to test the population and see where we're at as far as accepting, believing, our opinions, our attitudes, all of that. Okay? So here this little thing is, this human sheep chimera, and he's making those things, and we're paying him big money, and we're backing out of all of his research and stuff that he's doing. They said, imagine a cross between a human and a chimpanzee. How would the newborn humanzee be regarded? Well, that'd be just about crazy, since they're trying to say that's where we came from in the first place. So what? Now you want to revert us back since we evolved? You want to put us back in a chimpanzee and see what's going to happen? That's all just a bunch of, you know, we didn't come from no chimpanzees, no apes, no none of that. But look what they're doing. They're trying to mix human and chimpanzee. And one guy was saying, are we supposed to put clothes on it or what? I mean, there, you know, the questions about this stuff are endless. That one was kind of comical. But the questions that you really come down to when you start looking at this kind of stuff, the ethical questions. They went on to say, though most scientists believe it's possible, some believe the endeavor poses serious ethical concerns, arguing that it's unclear if the animal's human qualities will extend past their organs. What if the embryo that develops is mostly human? Pablo Ross, a veterinarian and developmental biologist at the University of California, Davis told the MIT Tech Review while adding, this wasn't something that he could rule out. The specter of an intelligent mouse stuck in a laboratory somewhere screaming, I want to get out. You know they do everything on mice, right? Everything. Now, can you imagine walking in there and maybe you're new on the job and you got a mouse over here saying, please get me out of here. What do you do? Tell him, shut up, I'm fixing to cut you up, bruh. I mean, that would mess me up if some little thing I'm supposed to be doing, whatever, starts talking to me. Okay. NIH ethicist David Resnick added during the meeting, he was the one bringing that out about if they start talking. Yeah, we're going to get into that, I think, next week. They said, still, the chances of these results occurring are unlikely, since only about 5% of animal-human chimera cells are human. I want to tell you something. That last statement is a lie straight out of hell. I don't believe that for a minute. Okay? And at the end of this message, we're going to get to somebody else who studied this stuff out. Remember, they are just spinning this stuff. They're putting a little bit out there to test us and see where we're at with accepting things. And then they're acting like, oh, we wouldn't do that. You better believe by the time they're talking to you about it, they done it and plenty. Okay? Now, we were taught to believe that mythology and all of that was just a fairy tale. Remember, I was talking about that last week. That was just fun, crazy fairy tale stuff. Okay? We believe that the drawings on the cave walls and on their brick walls and stone and on their pottery and all this, you know, we didn't believe that stuff. We thought it was just evidence from unlearned people, like little kids just drawing fantasy stuff or imaginative stuff. But like I said, now, and when we remove the scales from our eyes, when God does, and we're actually looking in God's Word, okay, we've seen two now. We've seen the satyr, and we've seen the lion-like man. We begin to see that these things were so. Okay, we see there's something to mythology. There's a lot of mythology to just brush under the carpet and say that was all just some goofy, crazy stuff, y'all. Okay? The people of the past were drawing things that they saw in their daily lives, that they fought against, that they prayed to and worshipped, all of it. Okay? These beings were created by the Nephilim when they began to sin against all flesh. Okay? And you could take that as eating all flesh, and I also take that as mixing all flesh. Both ways of sinning, okay, and they were sinning it up. They began to mix the DNA of different animals and humans and plants and fish and birds together, and they taught it to man, because you still see man doing it today, sitting right up here in MIT talking about it, how far they've come with it and what they're going to do. And I mean, the guy over here mixing human and sheep, And they booted him out, and we said, we'll take you, we'll give you more money, and we'll back off and let you do your research unhindered. Look at this next picture, okay? This is the next hybrid we're coming to in the Bible. Now, you look at this, and you see, well, that's a cow man sitting up there, right? Chemosh. You'll find him in the Bible, or it, whatever you want to call the thing. Worshipped by the Moabites. And not just the Moabites, but that's where. Remember when God was telling the Israelites before they took the promised land not to mix with the people around them, not to take on what they're doing, not to learn their ways, not to learn their customs, not to none of that. And they did it anyway. So there we go. There's a cow human right there. Okay. The next one is Molech or Moloch, same one. However you want to spell it, with an E or with an O, same one. And look at him right there, sitting up there, worshipped by the Canaanites, Ammonites. And guess what? The Israelites, because remember, God kept telling them, don't do it. And what'd they do? They kept on doing it. He'd pull them back, they'd repent, they'd whatever. And sometimes they wouldn't even really repent. They didn't really even have pure hearts. And he even called them out on it. He's like, with your lip, you're giving me lip service, but your hearts are over here with this other junk. And sometimes they tried to do worship this and him. You think he plays that?
Nope.
Uh-uh. Uh-uh, he sure don't. He said, it's all me or it ain't nothing. Okay? Look at this picture. It says, their sons and their daughters, they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. Now, you know, idols come in several different ways. Remember, they made idols because they made these little things to be like what they were seeing and what they were worshiping, so they could have a little figure of it in their own home that they could bow down to, which is the same as bowing down to the big one or bowing down to the what you can't see, which is it. Same thing. And it knows, the demon, Satan, when you got that little thing in your house, like a lot of the Hindus, they set up their little shrines. They have their little deity, which is an idol. They'll have candles and they have their little oil. They have their little ritual that they do for the little thing. Okay? And you could walk in there and go, oh, that's just some stuff on the table. Guess what? The unseen world, the spirit realm, is paying attention to that. And he knows, Satan knows, I've got that household right here, right in my grip, because they're doing all this little ritual stuff to him when you're doing that mess, okay? So when you see this Molech, Chemosh, they both look like the cow head, the human body, okay? According to 2 Kings 11:7, evidence is given that Chemosh and Molech were perhaps two manifestations of the same God, at least to the peoples who worship them. Now, I want to talk about that for a minute, because remember, you have to remember, in different parts of the world, different parts of the country, remember, over here they may be calling Isis, Isis. Over here they may be calling her Ashtart. Over there they may be calling her Ishtar. I mean, you got, and guess what? When you dig into it, you find out, oh, same one. Same one. Okay, so they're saying that these two may have been originally the same one. Okay, and when you get into this, Satan, the demons, and all that junk, the lines get blurred. It is the same thing with Horus, Osiris, Tammuz, Nimrod, Ra. All of that starts getting in that mixing pot and getting mixed up, because they all are coming out and spinning out of the same junk. Okay, so it says Solomon had high places built for both gods at the same time and in the same location on the mountain which is east of Jerusalem. Remember, he didn't obey God. He went and got all those concubines and all those wives, and he let them pull him away from God. And there's a reason why God gives you his ordinances, his statutes, his commands, the things that he tells us to stay away from and don't do. There's a reason. And he straight up said that. The king used to have to read his ordinances out and write them. And he said, don't take many wives. And he did it anyway. Now, both Chemosh and Molech may have had the same origins, but if so, by Solomon's time, they had been denominated into differing objects for different peoples. Chemosh for the Moabites and Molech for the Ammonites. According to Genesis 19:30-38, you guys can read these passages. Both the people of Moab and Ammon were descended from the two sons of Lot. Remember when Lot ran out of that city and all he had was his two daughters, and the two daughters, they thought they were the only people left on the earth, so they decided they were going to get their daddy drunk and they were going to sleep with him so that his seed could continue. Okay, that's what happened. From his two daughters sleeping with him, these are half-brothers, Moab and Ben-Ammi. That's where the Moabites came from. That's where the Ammonites came from, out of Lot's daughters sleeping with him. Okay? And this worship, we think, and I thought this, when you read the Bible, that all of this was shut down. We don't do this anymore. We're a civilized nation. We're civilized countries around the world. We don't do this anymore. That all went away. That was in biblical times. And we read and we laugh about them and how ridiculous they were, caught up in all this idolatry and doing all this, and we think that was a thing of the past. Nope, it sure isn't. It's alive and well right now on planet Earth. And I want to tell you something. It's a little bit more maybe hidden and out of sight. And most people don't understand, that haven't studied these scriptures, to know what we're dealing with right now in our time. Okay, I want to tell you, under the, under the Catholic Church, and I want to say something. Somebody beat me up about this. When I say the Vatican, you guys know what I'm talking about. You know I'm talking about the Pope, both of them, the black Pope, the white Pope, all the Jesuits and their cronies or whatever. So if you don't know, when I say that, that's what I mean. I know what the Vatican is. I know about the political stance and then the Catholic, okay? But when I say Catholic Church, I don't want you thinking the one down the street and whatever. I want you to know the one I'm talking about, okay? And so that's why I say Vatican, and I say it, and I hope you guys know what I'm talking about when I say it. A lot of people just want to beat up and try to tear down, and that's what I think that person was trying to do. But anyway, they are doing this under that Catholic Church where they go down and have their little satanic rituals. They are doing it in DUMs, deep underground military bases. They're doing it in the secret societies. They have their little secret meetings around the world. And people that have come out of SRA, they know about this stuff. Or people that have been broken through mind control, they know about it. Because when their altars inside are cued, bam, they go to the secret place and they participate in these rituals and things that are going on. And you want to know who that's to? That's to Satan. And it's alive and well right now. The Babylonian, Sumerian, mystery religions, all of that is still continuing. You know who's doing it? It's the top of our government. It's the elite, okay, who are working openly with Satan and who have all sold out. When you get to certain points in these secret societies, at least with the Masons, most of them, you pledge allegiance to Satan right off the bat. When you do that, the door is wide open for Satan to come in and do whatever, his demons for possession, for whatever he wants you to do for him and his kingdom. And it is happening all over this whole world. I bet there's not very many governments that aren't touched by this, and they are openly participating in it. I say openly with the ones who know. Not we don't know, but that's what I'm trying to bring out here. Okay, it's still happening right now. All this idolatry and all this worship and turning away from God did not end. It did not get stamped out. It did not go anywhere. And while I'm on it, Israel, which all you guys want to point out to me, is run by Khazarian or Ashkenazi Jews. Yes, okay, we know that. How many times did God deal with this in the Bible? When they went away from him, and then he pulled them back, then they went away again. Don't you know he had bad kings set up all the time in Israel? Then we had bad kings in Jerusalem too. And guess what? God is all powerful. He's going to deal with it. He's going to clean it up. He's going to right everything. We don't have to worry about it right now. Don't we know we got a president here in the United States that's not about the Lord. He's not Christian. He's not serving God. So those things aren't the things that we have to worry about. We can pray about these things. He knows, okay? They're not fooling us. We can be in the know, but it does not mean that we go against Israel. That is still his country, his nation, his chosen people. And it doesn't have to be the ones that you see standing up doing all these bad things. But I want to tell you something. God can still get a hold of their hearts, change them, and turn them back. He's always been doing that with his people. Okay, that's what we're supposed to be doing in ministry, is wanting the lost and dying souls in this world to get their eyes open and their ears open and their hearts pricked and cut open to come to God. We want them to realize there is a true and living God and come out of the stuff that they're in, okay? We don't have to just keep throwing them under the bus, but we got to expose it. And we got to pray for these people, y'all. Okay, now, so they have pledged allegiance to Lucifer. Remember, they want to be called Luciferians, because in the occult world, there's a difference between being a Satanist and being a Luciferian. And I want to give a shout out to Tim Thompson, because he's the one that taught me about this, okay, because he used to serve Satan, all right? He said, like when the cops get a criminal or whatever on the street, he said the first thing they try to find out when this person is all about Satan is if they're a Satanist or if they're a Luciferian. Because guess what? Luciferians are a big organized organization, like an underground type of thing. And it's like they don't act alone. Remember, they have groups praying together, chanting together. They have plans. They have, they've been working at this thing for a while. They've been going forward with it for a while. They're totally, squarely, and firmly in the army of Lucifer. And I said army because you and I, we're supposed to be in the army of Christ. Why? Because we're in a war, okay? And The ones who were just Satanists, you see them online. I keep seeing them. They got 50 piercings in their face. They got horns put in. They got tattoos all over their body. And they're just about the most repugnant thing you'd want to see, right? That's most of the time just a rogue Satan worshiper. And they don't, you know, yeah, they can get their little demonic power and stuff like that, but they're not really moving in the circles and doing and having the effect that somebody in the Luciferian occult, the big network organization, is having, okay? And those people, we got to pray for them too, all right? Because they are deceived, and they have gone way off the deep end when they're doing all that stuff, when Satan has got control of their mind, and he's got them just mutilating their body and doing all these things that go against the Lord. Pray for them people too, okay? Now, so they pledge allegiance to Lucifer, and they do sacrifices, pedophilia, molestation, rape. They do so many other atrocities, the things that they're doing in their secret occult meetings, that the Vatican, that I'm saying the Pope, the Black Pope, the Jesuits, all of them at the top. If you're a Catholic and you don't know these things, it's plenty to dig into and research. I've done messages on the Catholic Church. I want to warn you and tell you right now that the Catholic religion is a false religion. And I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of it. Because you might be saying, well, that don't happen at my church. That's not my... You know what? You're aligned with that. You're in agreement with that because you're staying in that religion, and God expects us to do our homework and know what is this religion about, okay? You may be truly saved, but he's still calling you out of that mess. You are not to be aligned with evil in any form, and I want you to know, for your Pope and your leaders up at the very top of that organization to be doing the things that they're doing and for you to stay in it and think it's okay, it's not okay. And if you ain't heard it nowhere else, you just heard it right here, okay? Get out of it and warn the friends and family and people that you know that are in it to get out of it. Do your homework. There's so much that you can find on that, okay? And if you're going to ignore all that, then you truly are turning that blind eye and have a hardened heart. And at that point, if Holy Spirit can't get through to you, then every now and then he does wash his hands and say, I'm done. Okay, if you're going to keep shunning him. Now, they're all Masons. Remember, I came across some research that said you're not going to enter the political arena in no part of the world. You're not going to go up the ranks unless you first become a Mason. Now, you might think I'm throwing all the government and everybody under the bus, but I want to tell you something. When they get up to the ranks and they get up to where we're seeing them on presidential candidate, you know, elections, and they're up there being a nominee and all this kind of stuff, you better believe they're a Mason. You better believe they've signed on. You better believe they're running with the Illuminati. You ain't getting all that money to fund your stuff and getting out in the limelight and everything else without them backing you, okay? Donald Trump is a big thing right now. Yeah, he's mouthy, and he seems like he's standing up for the people and all this stuff. Guess what? He was Jesuit trained, okay? He's got all that money. Don't you remember me telling y'all? The big corporations are running the show. They're part of this because they've sold out to Satan, to Lucifer, okay? Satan and Lucifer are the same thing, just in case y'all want to know. So them trying to make a distinguishment is just ridiculous. But, he has sold out, and that's how he's got all his money and all that he's doing. I'm just going to tell you, in the governments all around the world, there may be a few that have made it through, that have stayed pure and whatever, because there are a few books from, you know, some of the people in the Congress and different things that have tried to speak out on sacrifice and molestation and different things like that, and usually they get shut down, they get demoted, they get booted out, you don't hear from them no more. So I just want to tell you, most of them are all on board and have all sold out. Okay, same thing with our media and the whole thing. So they take an oath to Lucifer saying he's their God. And on reaching the 33rd degree of Masonry, because I know you guys out there, and I've seen this. It's supposed to be just for guys, I believe. But I recently saw where what they do for the women is they have an honorary club that's for the Mason women to be in it. Okay? When you get to the 33rd degree, oh, this was my point. Some of you guys out there that honestly don't know, maybe a friend of yours who didn't know, it's kind of like a friend of a friend of a friend invites you. Okay, it's word of mouth kind of thing, come to this meeting. Just thinks it's good old boys, it's social club, it's just we're just getting together and, you know, fellowshipping and that kind of thing. You know what? That's at the lower levels. Remember, at the lower levels where we are in society, the peons, right? We're down here, they think we're nothing. It's the same thing in the secret societies. You don't sign on and all of a sudden you're right at the top and you're running with the big dog, so to speak. No, you're down here. They're okay with keeping you in the dark. They'll gradually bring you up. They'll gradually open your eyes, okay? When you get to that 33rd degree of masonry, they participate in a ritual that makes them a priest of Horus. And just in case you don't know who that is, Tammuz in the Bible. Remember the women that were weeping for him and God said that's abomination? And remember, Tammuz is supposed to be Nimrod reincarnated. So you become a priest to that, which is a demon, which is the devil. Or to Isis, Asherah, Ashtart, Semiramis. That's who that is. Okay? So when you hit that 33rd degree, bam, you're a priest in Satan's occult. Zionists, who are the current leaders of Israel, have infiltrated all governments. They don't just stay in Israel. They're in all governments, and they own all the media, and they still worship Molech today. And this information was shared by Peter Kling. I'm going to bring some more information to y'all that Peter shared next week and his credentials, okay? Now look at this next picture. Here we go. Here we go with part human, part fish, hybrid. This thing right here is called Dagon, the Philistine god. He was worshipped by the Philistines and still by the Catholic Church today. You look at that little, he don't have that fish miter hat on in this picture, but that little, normally when you see him, he's got that little fish miter hat on where it's open, it's split at the top. If you took that Pope's hat off and turned it sideways, you could see a fish. And they still wear those things today. Okay? I'm going to read y'all something about this little Dagon guy. 1 Samuel 5, 2 through 7. And I like this passage because it's strong. This is how I think about my God. 1 Samuel 5, 2 through 7. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, remember the Ark of the Covenant, they brought it into the house of Dagon. So they brought it into their God's house, their temple, and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. You know why? Because the Lord God Almighty said, you ain't going to stand before me. You're going to get down on your face and you're going to kneel before me, buddy. And he did it too. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. Oh, poor little Dagon. He couldn't get up all by himself and get back over there in place? No. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him, his little mermaid fish part. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod unto this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them in Ashdod, and he destroyed them and struck them with emerods, and that's tumors, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us, which meant severe, and upon Dagon, our God. Now, you want to know who's the mightier one? You want to know who's all-powerful? It's the Lord God Almighty. That's who? Yahweh. Okay? I'll tell you what. He made that thing bow down to him, and he kept slamming it down till he tore the thing apart, and they knew it. That was a sign. That was his power on display. He showed them, you know, I'm the true and living God. And they said, you know what? We got to get this thing out of here. We can't deal with this no more. They didn't. They wanted to keep doing their idol worship. Deuteronomy 32, and look at this picture. And that's a you know, somebody drew this to show the representation. But look at that. They smashed that thing, the Lord did. He smashed. I like how he tore its head off and its hands off and made that thing bow. Every day they went in there, they didn't know what was going to happen next. They should have known. Okay, let's go over here to Deuteronomy 32:17. They sacrifice unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. And feared there, that's meaning worshiping and praising. They started worshiping the gods of Canaan, the Canaanite gods and stuff. They weren't worshiping the ones that were worshiped before, because right here that says your fathers didn't know these gods. Okay? Now I want to share something with you from a friend of mine. And her name is Joy. And I think I've got one more hybrid that I'm going to be bringing out next week, okay? This friend of mine, her name's Joy. She is a survivor of SRA. In case you don't know what SRA is, it's Satanic Ritual Abuse. She has DID, okay? That's Dissociative Identity Disorder. For you guys that are probably like me, I think about it like kind of like multiple personality disorder or a split personality, that kind of thing, okay? But it's the technical term is Dissociative Identity Disorder. She shared with me that many times her altars, remember how I said they have files or altars inside of them, because at such a young age, they were made to witness and participate in horrific things that split them all up inside. She said her altars inside, which they're still part of her, okay, will share true memories with her through dreams. So when she's dreaming, some of these splits that they've created on the inside are sharing with her to get through to her some things that actually happened and that she remembered. She's in the healing process right now, and I praise the Lord. He never gave up on her. He drew her to him. And I want to tell y'all just a little snippet. We talked about those people who are programmed to get saved and stuff like that. Many times they'll have... not that she did, but they'll have Christian altars inside of them where they're programmed, and those are the ones that are what they call up front. And so it appears to the rest of us that that person is saved and they're a Christian. What they've done is they have those Christian altars inside of them, separated from the evil ones that are doing their bidding, the Illuminati bidding. And the altars that are Christian don't necessarily know about the ones that aren't Christian, and vice versa. They stay out of each other's hair, so to speak. They stay separate inside the person. It's a mess. It's a mess, y'all. But she had an altar get saved, and this altar inside of her, it's hard to understand all this, I know, is ministering the gospel to other altars. And what I got out of that and what I see happening is she has personalities or altars inside of her that are merging back to the one her that God created. Okay, he's doing a work, he's mending, he's healing, he's close to the brokenhearted. Okay, so now she shared with me that she had a dream. Now remember, a lot of the dreams that you have as an SRA survivor, a DID person, is actually true. They're showing her things that she's participated in, that she's been taken to different places around the world, that she's been made to partake or witness or see these things. And they're surfacing this to her, and this is part of healing, okay? It's those cracks that happen where you start getting your memory, where you start knowing what happened, where you start piecing it together. And the Lord is walking with her and mending and healing all of this, okay? She had this dream that she was a child, and among a group of kids being introduced to a race of animal human. She said probably Nephilim, hybrids. She says it seemed they were introducing these hybrids to a group of us, kids, in a setting like a school playground to see how we would accept them, integrating them like you would another race of people. Remember how I said they test us? to see when we're ready. It's the same thing the Pope's been doing. I'll baptize an alien. Well, they're our brothers and sisters. We should love them. They're created by God. They're higher evolved than us and all these kind of things. They're conditioning. They're trying to get us ready. They're trying to, and this is what this was too, okay? So she said, there was a sense from me that I felt a sympathy for this one female hybrid because she seemed to want very much to be accepted. And she was, Joy was saying that just seemed strange to her. She said, anyway, when she described them to her friend, she has a friend, my friend Joy does, who's a clone that has been through SRA and DID. When she described them to her, she said that she has seen the same ones or types before, but they were in a more primitive state. And she told her that it sounds like they have perfected them. Okay? And I remember that Joy shared with me, she told me that one of them or some of them had multiple pairs of legs. Like the ones they stood on were animal legs. And they had a pair that sort of folded up, going up, she said that folded up going up toward their back. And there was another third pair that were sort of like they could be wings or legs. She said that they didn't think this group was strange at all and that they had thoughts and feelings just like us. For her to have this and her friend to have had this, and her friend knew that they weren't, they were kind of primitive when she saw them. And don't you know that's what's going on in laboratories, in universities, in dumbs all around this world. That those scientists and different people have been doing nothing but creating and perfecting. And remember, we talked about those ones that are just scrapped. Oh, it didn't work out good. We need to kill that thing, throw it away, whatever. That ain't it. Let's go on. Let's try it again. Let's get it right. You better believe. You better believe that's real, okay? And I want to tell you just an interesting side note. The email that she sent me that had this information in it, when I decided I wanted to put it in this message, I could not locate it. Not in the inbox, not in the sent box, not in the deleted box, not in the folder where I save things from different people. None of it. And I asked her about it, see if she could find it and send it to me. She can't find it on her end either. Just think that's odd that it just disappeared, okay? Now, I want to share something with you from Tom Horn, the subject that we've been talking about. He has done so much research and everything else about it, y'all. I mean, he was a pastor for 25 years, and he's written books, and he's researched, he spoke on this stuff. He's been around the world checking facts, checking details, checking into this stuff. If y'all don't know who he is, I encourage y'all to get some of his material, to research into him, to listen to what he's been exposing, okay? Because God's leading him, okay? He said, they have crossed the line into making chimeras for drug testing pharmaceutical purposes. Don't we know big pharma's involved? They always are, okay? Easier to get approval with this type of embryo instead of testing on humans. See, there was a big stink when it came to just being human. So it's like, well, we'll add animals into it, and then we can do what we want. All right? And he said, this crossing, this hybrid mixing and doing all this is also being used in the military, and don't we know it? Because the military, remember, is being taught how to do mind control and telepathic talking back and forth and how to burst hearts and they're having their little satanic rituals, which I just talked about in the occult. It's in our military, the top echelon, okay? Now look at this picture, because he said it's like we're going back to Dr. Moreau. Remember that island? Remember that movie? Okay, where creepy things were happening out there? I looked that up. And when you look at this, you see these little animal, human-looking things going around doing what they're doing out there on that island, and they weren't happy either, okay? Dr. Moreau was based on a 1896 novel by H.G. Wells. And didn't he write some things that we now know were true? Time travel and everything else, okay? The chimera had implants in them so that they could be shocked into minding. Now, remember, they've been telling us what they're doing. Look at that. That, just the implants, that reminds me of our targeted individuals today. Remember, and they're spraying nano dust on all of us and chemtrails, and they're putting it in our foods, and they're trying to get all of us implanted so that they can shock us and control us and do all the things that they're doing. Don't just think it's just the targeted individuals. They may be getting it hot and heavy right now, but their plan is for everybody to get it. Okay? And so that right there stood out, what was going on in this movie. Moreau was trying to create a total human from an animal. And he was doing what's called vivisection. That's surgery conducted for experimental purposes on a living organism. And you could think, well, we do that all the time now. We're alive and we go into surgery and all that. Typically animals with a central nervous system to view the living internal structure. Surgery while alive. In the movie, they weren't given medication to knock them out or numb the pain. Okay, he was doing surgery and stuff on these animals without nothing, trying to study them and see how they worked and operated so he could get his experiments down. Now, Tom said, there is a 2025 global governance report, and on page 35, it speaks of the fact that we have reached a critical juncture with the emergence of a new form of humanity. We're already there, y'all. It's here. They're writing about it. They're passing laws about this stuff. Okay? It's like he's exposed. It's in so many laboratories and universities and underground bases. They're trying to keep it secret and away from us and stuff, but it's coming out more and more and more. Okay? In closing, and I'm going to finish up on the hybrid part next week, and then we're going to revisit Phil Snyder. We're coming back to Phil because we didn't cover everything that he spoke out about, and we're going to get into some deeper stuff that he talked about. Okay? I want to go over here to Matthew 13 and read this out in closing. 13, 37 through 43. And about all of this, okay? He answered and said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. You're one or the other right now. Amen. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Amen. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now I want to tell y'all, that right there is second coming. That's not the church. That's not the bride. It may be the church, the one that ain't plugged in, but that's not the bride. Remember, when Jesus comes for the bride, he's coming for us. He's meeting us in the clouds, in the air, in the twinkling, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, okay? When you read about him sending his angels and doing that harvest and reaping, that's second coming, because he's fixing to divide the wheat and the tares that came out of that tribulation. And he's fixing to throw those tares in the fire. That is when the Nephilim, the hybrids, that kind of stuff is going to be dealt with, okay? After tribulation is when these things are going to be dealt with, all right? And I hope as these messages go forward that you guys are going to see more and more. We have that same stuff right here on this planet with us right now. That's what I'm wanting to bring out so bad in these messages, okay? Now, I want to go to the Lord in prayer. Before I do, I want to say something to y'all, because we were just sharing this with Kennedy. When we let her come and sleep with us sometimes on a Saturday night or whatever, and we pray, she says her prayers, and then Scott and I will pray, and we take turns. Either I'll pray or he'll pray for the both of us, okay? And Kennedy was like, you know, whosever turn it was, she was telling the other one, well, you need to pray. So I was explaining to her that I said, Daddy and Mama take turns praying. We pray together. And why that's powerful. And I want to encourage you guys who are couples out there, you know, married couples, because if you're a couple and you're in bed together and you ain't married, there's a problem right there. Okay, we'll talk about that sometime. But married couples, I encourage y'all to pray together. Remember, the Word of God shows us there's power in numbers. And you're one. You and your spouse, you're one in the Lord's eyes. Okay? And you have more power in your prayer when you're coming together in unity and in agreement. Okay? So I just want to throw that out there for y'all. And I want to encourage you too, before I go into prayer, you guys who are watching and who track along with this ministry and that pray, remember some of these requests that God lays on your heart and lift these people up and pray, okay? And God bless our prayer team because they're praying over your needs. And we are too in this ministry. We're lifting your needs up before the Lord, okay? There's power in prayer. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that we can pray and come to you in prayer anytime, day or night. We can pray out loud, or we can pray in our hearts, Father, and you hear us either way. And Lord, we know there's no rules. We don't have to even close our eyes, Father, but it helps us to concentrate and focus on you when we do close our eyes and get in that place where we can focus on you and think about you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for shedding your blood and giving your life to redeem us back to our Heavenly Father. Thank you for being our perfect sacrifice. You are the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. And Heavenly Father, you are just in all your ways. You're true to keep your promises. You are high and lifted up. We magnify your holy name. Right now, Lord, I want to pray for salvation. I want to pray for Miss Karen's family. I want to pray for Miss Paula's daughter, for her children, Lord, for true salvation. I want to pray, Lord, anybody out there who's listening, whose family and friends aren't saved, or that knows somebody that's not saved, Lord, these are the people we want to pray for right now. So this is what I do in prayer whenever somebody's not saved. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against you, Satan, and I break you, and I break your whole kingdom out and off of the unsaved people in this world. I bind you, and I cast you far away from them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, while Satan is bound, I ask you to send forth the perfect laborers of the gospel to spread the gospel in such a way that they will administer it in such a way that they will listen and come out of the snare of the devil and make Jesus Lord. Father, I ask you to open their spiritual eyes and their spiritual ears, and I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to soften their hearts to receive that gospel, Father. We pray for their salvation, Lord. Do a work in their lives and draw them to Jesus Christ for true salvation, not lip service, but heart service. And Lord, I want to lift up Flo to you, Lord, and I ask you, Father, to give her a special healing touch, Lord. Heal her breathing. And anybody else out there, Lord, having breathing problems, we come against it in Jesus' name. We break it and we bind it and we cast it off in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you meant for your children to breathe deep, full breaths and to be healthy, Lord. So we come against this sickness, these spirits of infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ. And we break them, bind them, and cast them off in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to lift up Pastor Jerry and Michael to you, Lord, for healing. And for healing of the broken hearts from Pastor Margaret going on to be with you, Lord. And we're so happy because we know she's with you. That gives us peace and comfort, too. Lord, touch them and heal them, Father. And use them for your glory and your honor, Heavenly Father. Strengthen them and help the people that have lost loved ones, Lord, to persevere, Father, and to continue on, not to give up, to know that they have that person, if they were saved, as a great, they're part of their great cloud of witnesses. Lord, I want to lift up for jobs, Miss Sarah. She's searching for a job, and her children are, Lord, and I know there's many out there right now looking for jobs, Father. I'm asking you, Lord, to bring them to the right job, the one that's going to bless them in abundance, Father, the one that's going to meet their needs, the one that you have that's designed specifically for them. Lead them and guide them, Father, and we ask you to open doors that no man can shut. Lord, bring those opportunities across their path, Lord. We pray for you to meet the needs of your children, Lord, and we're asking for these jobs to come, Lord. to the ones who are seeking you and who have asked, Lord, for your, they're stepping out in faith and saying, please help me with a job, Lord. We're lifting them up to you. And Heavenly Father, I want to, someone contacted me, Mr. Nelson. I want to lift him up, Lord, and he's not alone in this either. His wife has joined a occultic church. And to all signs in the world would think it's just a church. It's a church that believes in the Kundalini spirit. It's a church that believes that new revelation supersedes your word. It's a church that believes that anybody can get a revelation and it just nullifies the Bible. That's an occult. Father, she has said that she would stay with him if he joins this church, and he will not do it. And I praise you, Father, for giving him faith to stand, even in the loss of his marriage. Not that it's a loss of his marriage, Father, but at the cause of dividing him and his wife, Lord. So I want to ask you, Father, and people that are in these situations where a spouse has gone off and got into things that are not godly, draw that spouse out of that, Father. Break all ties that are binding them into this darkness, Father. By your Holy Spirit, open their spiritual eyes and their spiritual ears, Heavenly Father. We ask you, Lord, we're seeking you on Mr. Nelson's part, Lord. Draw his wife out of that, Father. Cause her to know that that is not your hand, that is not your power on display. Heavenly Father, we have so many seeking supernatural power, and they're not even paying attention to where it's coming from, and some of them don't even care. There are two powers, and you are all-powerful, Heavenly Father. Help us to seek your power, Lord. So I'm asking you to draw her out of that occultic church, Lord. And the ones who are deceived that are sitting in church and they've got somebody leading and that's not even following you, Father, I ask for those people to wake up and get out. And Lord, I want to lift up Mr. Mark. He is fighting the addiction to smoking, and he is asking you, Lord, he is reaching out to you. And Heavenly Father, there are many people in this world battling this addiction. So right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come against this addiction to smoking. We come against you, Satan, and your kingdom, and these addictions to smoking, and the lust to keep smoking, and the habit to smoke. We come against all these spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. We break them out of the people's lives who truly want to lay down this habit, this addiction. We break you out of their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind you and we command you to flee from them. Go into the pits of hell and stay there in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we're standing on your word. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And I know that Mr. Mark has reached out and he is showing faith and he's saying, help me, deliver me, Father. And we know that deliverance is for your children. And we're asking you to deliver all those today who want to be freed from smoking. We're laying it at your throne, Father, at your feet. And we're asking you to deliver them, Father, in a powerful and mighty way. And I want to encourage you guys, if it doesn't happen instantly, don't give up. God hears this prayer. He sees your heart. He's with you in the storm, and he'll walk you through it. Just trust in him. He is our deliverer and our healer still. And Lord, I just want to pray for healing for all those who have been through satanic ritual abuse. And it's still going strong today. That's where little kids, that's where people are forced to go into a satanic ritual. And they're forced to see people being sacrificed and killed and murdered and raped and molested. And many times it's happening even to them. Lord, I ask you to gather them up and love on them and pour your Holy Spirit into them, Lord, and let them know you're a God of love, for God is love. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Okay? 1 John 4:8. You are love. And Father, I ask for healing in their lives, Lord. And Heavenly Father, I just want to include this Psalm 84:11. Lord God, you are a sun and a shield. You will give grace and glory. No good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. That means righteously. That means in the Lord. That means in faith. That means your children. And we thank you, Lord, for your word, that we could stand on your word, because your word does not return void. it will accomplish that which you please in the thing whereto it was sent. And Lord, we pray all these things in the mighty and the precious and the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and King, we pray. Amen. Hey, you guys, I just want to take a minute to let's go through how to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And why? Why do we even need to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And also, I'm talking to the people also who maybe walked with the Lord and you went away from Him and you just kind of left it behind and you haven't really been walking with Jesus anymore. That's what we call backsliders. I'm talking to both the person who wants to be saved for the first time ever and to the person who's a backslider who wants to come back to Jesus, because this ministry does not believe in once saved, always saved. Okay, God does His part and we do our part. It's a team. We work together. All right, so the first thing is, you might say, and I hear this a lot, and even my husband was saying it, to be honest with you, before we got truly saved. I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anybody. That's kind of the standard these days. As long as you haven't killed anybody, you're a good person. Really, listen to this. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. To be honest with you, because the world is in a fallen state, we all are born into sin, okay? And also for the people that think, but I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't hurt nobody. I do good things. I help people. That person, then there's scripture in Isaiah that says, for our righteousness, that's when we're calling ourselves good and we're saying, but we're good. We're good people. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. That's that thing that stinks that you're like, ooh, get it out of the house, right? Filthy rags to Him. Okay, and He's the standard. He's the judge, Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if we miss His mark and we don't please Him, we're not going to make heaven. So we want to make sure we got our ducks all in a row, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments, now we're not a legalistic church. We know we're under grace, which is what Jesus Christ brought. But there's people that say, you know, like, I don't need Jesus. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. Well, if you just pull out the simplest one, I'm just going to pull out one. You shall not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? That's what lying is. And if you say, I don't lie, that's a lie. Everybody lies. Little kids come out lying. You say, did you do that? Did you break this? No, not me. Bam. So come on, you know. So here's the thing. We've all broken at least one of the commandments. And in the New Testament, it says if you break one, you broke them all. Because that's the attitude of God. He's like, if you break one, it's just as good as breaking them all, because that's all it takes to separate you from Him is one. Okay? So let's pray that prayer of salvation. It's real easy to do, y'all. You just say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose again, and you are seated at God's right hand. Please help me to live for you all the days of my life. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, that prayer you prayed to Jesus in His name. The rest of them, you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? And you'll get all that as you learn and grow in the Spirit. Okay? To see why you needed to pray that prayer of salvation, the scripture on that is Romans 10:9-10. That'll show you about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and how to obtain salvation, in case you're wondering how come we're doing that, okay? Now, something that you're going to want to do, you want to right off the bat start establishing your relationship with Jesus. Okay, and in order to do that, you want to hear His voice, right? You want to hear Him. I don't know a person out there that's trying to be a Christian that doesn't want to hear His voice. And how you hear His voice? Read His word. That's His words written down for you and I to read. That's His voice speaking to you without a shadow of a doubt. Okay, then when you pray, you speak to Him. So what's that? That's two-way communication. You're speaking to Him. He's speaking to you. Now you've got a relationship going, okay? And you want to do that every day. Every day, seek Him. You seek Him by reading His word and praying and letting Him know, I want more of you. When you read the Bible
Ask him to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and to give you understanding. And he'll help you understand his word, okay? He wrote it by Holy Spirit, okay? And the next thing that you're going to want to do is get in a good Bible-based church. Now, I'm not pushing any kind of denomination. You just want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the whole Bible. Okay, they believe in the Bible and they believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God, okay, and that it's through him that we have our redemption and our salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life, okay? And also, I wanted to say that some people think, oh, I just pray for forgiveness one time and I'm done because he died way back when, so now that I asked, it's all already done. No. You need to ask forgiveness and try to make it a habit on a daily basis because we're in these fleshly bodies before we get our glorified bodies, so we battle this flesh daily. So just, you know, when you pray each day, at some point during the day, say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins, and go on about your prayer. And he knows you're praying and you're talking to him from your heart, and you talk to him just like you and I would talk, okay? You don't have to have fancy whatever, all right? And ask him to help you grow spiritually. If you want to, let us know that you prayed that prayer. It would be such a blessing to hear your testimony, okay? God bless y'all.